Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your host, or at least one of them. The other one will not be here today. This is Words That Work. It's not what you say. It's what people hear and feel. I want you to focus on the last part. It's what the people hear and feel. That is what is important. So today, let's talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And this is a new month. We went through last month, which was designated the month of Black History Month. So now we are coming into my birthday month, March. And March, we will be discussing the God of your understanding. The God of your understanding. And whenever I want you to begin to think about that, what does that mean to you? Now, for the ones, for the hosts, and this is strictly the opinions of the hosts and not the station in general, other hosts, unless they call in and speak up. So we're going to set the parameters here up front. I always believe in that. So we all know what we're talking about. And I would like to read a couple of verses from the scripture book. Scripture is the title of it. Some of you have what you call the Holy Bible. And some of you are wed to the King James Version. The others are the NIV. But whenever you sit down and take a look at what is written and how it's written and look at the words and go back to the Hebrew meaning, you see that most of them are pretty close to the original text. There may be a couple words that might have been translated differently. Like you won't find ghosts in the Old Testament or in the scripture or in the Torah or any of those books. You're only going to find it in pretty much nowadays in the King James, because when they translated spirit, they added ghosts to it. They say that in that time that they were translating it, the word ghost and the word spirit, the meaning was pretty close, almost identical. So that is why one reason that the translators, according to the history, that they translated ghosts and called the New Testament. But I'm going to read this. And you can read along with me. It's Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read down to verse 3-4. And then I'm going to go over to verse 26 and verse 26. And, well, we'll start at 26 and go down to 29, so that we'll be clear as who the God is that the host is talking about. And it reads thus, in the beginning, well, we use the Hebrew name for the creator, for the divine one, Elohim. So in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth came to be formless and empty, and and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the waters. Two things that I want to emphasize here. It says, in the beginning, Elohim tells what Elohim did. It says, in the beginning. For me, the beginning means that there was nothing before. And Elohim, before he created, there was nothing there. Okay. And then the next, whenever we get down, what do we see? And the Spirit of Elohim was moving over the face of the water. So we make certain, we can draw certain emphasis from that, those two verses, is that Elohim is a spirit. A spirit. His spirit went over the face of the waters. All right. And Elohim said, let light come to be, and light came to be. And Elohim saw the light that it was good, and Elohim separated the light from the darkness. And it goes on. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning one day. In other words, we're going to stop here for time, but we see that he created the day, and he had the light, and we call the moon and the sun, and that's what became day and night. And now let's turn over. So you're going to hear us talk about the Creator, and that's the basis for our understanding of why we refer to Elohim at times the Creator, because there was nothing before he created the heavens and the earth. It says heavens and the earth created, so there was no heavens either. Okay, now, verse 26, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creeping creatures that creep on the ground. And Elohim created the man in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful and increase and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over all creeping creatures on the earth. And it goes on, verse 29. So he provided food for them too. And Elohim said, see, I have given you every plant that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it is for food. And so now, what do we get from that? We get, one, that we are created in the image of the Creator. In the image, it didn't say we were created to look like them. We were created exactly like them. And it didn't say which image. Because we go back to the beginning, it says his spirit was moving over the face of the waters. So he's a spirit, and it doesn't say what else he is. And I'm just saying, he said, so don't come texting me or emailing me. And Elohim is a plural noun, Hebrew word, plural noun. And one may conclude that there, you say, well, why didn't they just use a verb? Or why did they have to use a plural noun for the name of the Creator? Well, we can look at that several different ways. We look at it through the eyes of the Western European, or we can look at it through the eyes of the Hebrews, Israelites that wrote this. And we'll see, we will come to a different conclusion. The Westerners, that's sort of where they came up with a Trinity concept, because it was a plural name for the Creator. And the Hebrews, they don't see it that way, because one, you will not find in anywhere in the Christian Bible the mention of a Trinity. Trinity was created in one of the councils whenever they concluded that Jesus was more human than divine. And it goes on. But that is our understanding, or my understanding, of God. Who is God? The God of your understanding. And that's what we will be addressing as we go through the rest of this month. And the subtitle is, Why Can't America Get It Right? Why can't America get it right? And it doesn't necessarily mean this is limited to America. There are other countries that are going through something similar that we are going through here in America. And whenever you sit down and you look at the beginning and some of the subtitles here, is America Culture of Line and the Founding Fathers, what? We'll examine that, and sometimes we will have persons on that has some authority in dealing with these issues. The church's role and the courts. So those will be the subtitles that we will be dealing with. Why can't they get it right? And we look at that question, and this is just me. You may come to a different conclusion, because what we are dealing with is the God of your understanding. I don't know how you understand God. I don't know what your relationship is with God. I don't know how you define God, but I'm just making it clear that we said that he is a creator. He created the heavens and the earth. We said that he's a provider, because he what? He prepared the earth to bear food for us. And it's very clear. So, now, coming out, I'm a farmer. I grew up on a farm, and I'm connected to the earth in a way that people who grew up in the cities or the urban areas are not. Because whenever we look at God, God provided for us. And we had the seed. We took it literally, what was written here. And we took that seed and we planted it. And that was work that had to go into getting the food now, before the food could be placed on the table. And as we looked at, we had to prepare the soil. So we had appreciation, and that, I can't prove this, but I know for me, I see the earth in a more, I won't say sacred, but earth is very important to my existence, because we planted a garden, thing in the garden that we would need. We planted the garden in the springtime of the year. And we were doing the spring, late spring, early summer, we could pick stuff from the garden and that we would eat. That would be like peas and tomatoes and squash and all of those things that were growing that was good for food. Then we would have watermelons, cantaloupes, and it's amazing. Watermelons are good for people who have hypertension. As opposed to taking the water pill, you could eat watermelons, and that would serve the purpose. So as we you say, okay, we grew our own wheat, which that's what flour came from, and we cut it to the flour mill. And it was a bartering situation in a lot of these instances, like the corn we cut it to the corn mill, and they made corn meal. They made a meal for us out of the corn that we bought. And as I said, a lot of times we wouldn't have to pay. They would get almost a percentage. Well, technically, that's what it was of it for their service. And they did whatever they did with it. And in order for them to stay in operation. Then you say, okay, we did plant, I mentioned corn, we planted that. And we planted cotton, and we planted tobacco also. And the cotton didn't come to summertime. It got hot. And again, what did the sun do? The sun heated the earth, and that's what caused stuff to bud and stuff to come and begin. Life began in that ground. That's where life began, in the darkness, and whenever the sun heated the earth. And we did the cotton. You said, now why are you going through all of this? Cotton, what do? We cut it to the cotton gin. And they processed it. And we had a certain amount of cotton that we wanted to get back because why? In the wintertime, the ladies would come together and do what? Make quilts. So the earth was very important to us. And that came from God. God said that he did this. So all of this today, we're just primarily dealing with the fact that what God said and what God did and how what God said and God did impacted us, impacted our lives, and how we grew up being more appreciative for the earth and for what came out of the earth, because that's what sustained us. Also, when we think about this now, it was a cycle as well. We didn't eat the same thing year round. We ate it what we call in season. In the spring, the peas and the tomatoes and stuff like that, that type of produce. And then in the fall, late fall, we ate the greens and the roots, the turnip greens. Oh, I forgot the sweet potatoes and white Irish potatoes, we call them, in the spring, in the early summer, late spring. then we had the potatoes, and what did we do? Ones that we didn't eat, we prepared and we kept some because we knew that we would need to eat during the winter time as well. So, and then the potatoes, which we call sweet potatoes, they were planted, and we dug them, and we took them out, and we ate some of them, and then we built potato hills, and we will put the potatoes in there and put pine straw around them so that they won't get frostbitten, and we called it during the wintertime when it really got cold. So we had a different appreciation of God, who God is or who Elohim is, and what Elohim would do or wouldn't do. And that's what helped shape my view of God. And you had a relationship. You developed a relationship with the Creator, with Elohim. And as you developed that relationship, you began to understand and see things that normally you wouldn't see if you didn't have that relationship. Now, let's just get closer to the winter time. We did the summer. Well, we did the spring. That's the planting. And then late spring and early summer, we start harvesting that which we had planted. And then in the fall, again, now you say, here again, medicine. That for us was medicine as well, because the way we ate that which came from the earth. And in the fall and late fall, we started eating the turnips and the collards and those type of vegetables. And why? You might want to know why. Because whenever you eat those type of vegetables, they build up your immune system. Builds your immune system. Again, had to go back to the Creator, the one that created us, Elohim. He placed all of this in existence even before he created us, created the humans and I'm not sure about the angels, but all this was in place on the earth. And we got less colds, less flus, and all of that because our immune system was built because of the way that we ate. And that was by design. And so what else? We want attributes of God, and we said God is a planner. God is one of the being that knew what was going to, what we would need and why we would need it. And as a result, what did he do? Everything in the earth, or on the earth or in the earth, that we would need to sustain ourselves. Because he knew that we were in a physical body, and that physical body needed certain nutrients, as opposed to us being just a straight spiritual being. And if that's the relationship that we develop with the earth, and out of our understanding of who God is through our relationship with the earth, and through the fact that he prepared that for us. And so what else did that do? In terms of my understanding of the Creator, is that where is he? Where is the Creator? The Creator, to me, was more of a spiritual being, and he was out yonder someplace. Yeah, I use that yonder word. I haven't used that one for a while, but that's a good set of words that I grew up with. He was out yonder. he wasn't so far out yonder that he didn't couldn't reach down and touch us spiritually. And that gave us a different perspective, again, because we recognized that there was something greater than ourselves, something greater than humans that was out there and that was in communication with that which he created. And as we looked and we saw, what did we see with the water now? He said the fish too. So what do we do with the fish? We would go and fish. And we would go to the creek. Some of us call it the creek. And go to the pond, and we would go fishing. And everything that we ate when I was down there on the farm, it had a relationship, direct relationship with the human body, and it provided the nutrients that it needed to function properly. Oh, I forgot to, we walked a lot, even if whenever you were plying, we call it plying, we had the mule and a plow, and we would walk behind that, preparing the field for planting. I forgot that part. That was exercising. We were in better shape then than we are now because we got the exercise that was necessary to keep our body functioning properly. The water provided nutrients for us as well through the fishes and all that. And we would go fishing and catch fish, and we would have fish for dinner sometime. And then we did have chickens and all that. So our diet, we had a diet that was much better in those days than now. Now we have what? Freezer. And what? Refrigerator. Back then, what did we have? Pair our food. Salt. Salt. Whenever an animal was killed, they would salt that animal down. And that salt cured and preserved that meat through the winter times until the spring. And, you know, we could go out and cut a piece of ham at that time and eat it without even having to cook it. Because that salt had cured it, it had pulled out the impurities and all of that. And you didn't kill an animal today and put it on the table tonight. And you did not, we followed it closely to the word, the blood, we made sure the blood drained out of the animal before as well. I mean, for some of y'all might think this is gross, but that's what happened. And that's what the healthy part of it, whereas now they just kill the animals and run them through the sawmill and wrap them and put them in the freezer, and then it's time for you to eat. You can go down and you buy it, and you might have just killed them this morning. But the whole point of the matter is the way food was cared for and the way food was processed before there was a freezer and refrigerator. Food was more healthy back then than it is now. And you say, well, didn't the food spoil or rotten? No, it didn't whenever you prepared it properly. And you did not have to worry about it that happened to the food rotten or anything like that. Whereas today, because of all the preservatives and everything else that's in the food, that food spoils, I guess you can use that term. But that's what's the water, the air. We had appreciation of the air as well, because whenever you're out in the field, you're working, and you like, we call it a breeze. You want a nice, healthy breeze to come along. And when that breeze came along, that cooled you down. And we get to the trees. Back then, you didn't work all day in the field. You could find a tree whenever it got real hot. And we told time by the position of the sun. And we knew when the hottest part of the day was based on the position of the sun and the heat. And then we would find a tree if we were not close to the house. And we would go to that tree and get some shade and get a breeze and cool down. So we had a greater appreciation of everything that was created. And whenever we went to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday night, our praise was different than now, because we really truly understood who provided what, and we was very thankful for that, because we knew that if there was a bad harvest, we would not have food as a result of that. We were more, well, I think people were more thankful and had more gratitude to the Creator for what the Creator had prepared. And that's basically what caused me to develop the type of relationship that I did with the Creator. And so when we're talking about the Creator, you have some idea as to what it is, at least what it is that I'm saying, and why I'm saying what I'm saying about the Creator. I admit, as I grew older and the education part came in, I'd just be honest, I began to question. And back then I was told, you don't question God. Well, my thing was that if I don't question God, who am I going to question? And as we continue on in terms of developing this relationship with God, so my thing about God was that he was some monster too. That if you didn't do right, he was just waiting for you to do wrong so that he could punish you. Well, that was because of my lack of knowledge, or not lack of knowledge, but lack of understanding of what it is that I was calling God, and what it is that why he was doing what he was doing. And whenever we that education piece, yeah, I read the Bible through and through a couple of times when I was in elementary school. But while I was in college, I became agnostic. At that point, I was afraid that the disavow that God, the existence of God. But I still had questions. And as I wrestled with that, I come into a greater understanding of the Creator. And as a result of that, my relationship grew to the point where I believe that there is a Creator. Well, I don't really say I believe anymore. I say I know there's a creator, and I know what that creator did. And I also know what that creator did for me. I put that all in perspective, and who God is, the God of my understanding. Now, I know some people may take exception for that, but that's fine again. I hope they do, because I tell you straight up, you don't understand God the way I understand God, because you're not me. I don't understand God the way you understand God, because I'm not you. I haven't had the experiences that you had. So my relationship with God is different. Elohim, with this program, I'm gonna use the word Elohim, the name for God. And I tell you why. Growing up, when you're out with the word you heard in church, you not use the Lord as a God name in vain. But you got outside, you thought it was fun. You use all kinds of curse words with God's name. But I have not ever heard anybody use Elohim in any derogatory form or in a curse word. Elohim, Adonai, Yahweh, I am that I am, are those five. The other one is the creator. Now, that sent a message to me, and I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. In terms of the word God, and whenever you look at the Hebrews, they drop the O when they write it. They don't write G-O-D. They write G-D. Because that whole thing was that God is so revelant that you cannot use that word. You cannot call his name. But the name, those attributes of God, Elohim, Creator, Yahweh, and all of that, that's what they use. You don't hear them say God. That's Yahweh. And they drop the vowels. And that's the other thing, whenever we look at Scripture, as well, the sidebar, when we look at Scripture, there was no punctuation in the Scripture, in those sentences. There was one continuation. Man sat down and put punctuation in there, say that he was under divine guidance. I'm not questioning that, but I'm just making a statement. And I found for me, this is me, whenever I read the Bible, there's something just like when I read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I would say, in the beginning, period. And then I said, okay, so there was a beginning. There was nothing before. It says, in the beginning. And then I would move that period. In the beginning, Elohim, period. So as I broke it down that way in terms of meditating and reflecting on it, I found that to be helpful to me because there was no punctuation. The scribes, whenever they did a scroll, they just wrote. So getting back now to the relationship with the creator, a creator. And I it evolved in terms of I had to come to an understanding that I didn't need to help the creator. I didn't need to help Elohim. Now, first, I got to help. And there was a point in my life where I understood that I could rely totally on the creator. And I didn't need to be out there trying to help and walk by faith and not by sight. So that's part of what went into my developing the relationship that I developed with the Creator. And now I try not to be disrespectful to people, but I understand that we all are not at the same place, and I have to value that in others' life because that's where I was at one point. So for this month of March, as we go through it, as we take on these topics, I just want to make it clear who the God is that we're talking about. We're talking about the Creator, and we identify certain parameters that is in the book of Genesis, which is the first book. And some people may call in and say, you may call in and say, there's more books than what's in that book that you call the Bible or the Holy Bible. I agree. I concur it is. And I say that I'm not knocking you for reading other books, other biblical, I call it extra biblical material, because it has helped me to understand what's in that Bible. Because when you look at the book of Enoch talks about those watchmen, and we are told that there are angels. We have angels who are our watchmen that watches over us. And we, in the book of Enoch, it spells out how God gave them their assignment and what they did that they shouldn't have done, and how sin came into the earth realm was through those angels, because they were disobedient. And now whenever you hear me talk about sin, I'm calling it disobedient. I'm not dealing with an abstract concept. It's people was disobedient to God, they disobeyed, they broke the laws, therefore that's what sin is. So people is clear. Biblical laws, not man's law, but biblical laws. And the biblical laws, man's laws, supposed to be derived from the biblical laws. So we just have to begin to think this stuff through. And remember some of the stuff that we've been told is not necessarily biblical. But now, I said all that. Does anyone that's listening have anything they'd like to say at this time? I think we got two listeners. We did have three, and one dropped off. I guess it was just too much. The movie Tombstone, when Doc Holliday told Ringo after he shot him, he told him that I guess that was just too much for him to bear. So I guess that's why the person dropped off. Anybody have any comments at this time? So now I hope y'all have. Go ahead.
Hello. I was wanting to come in on OM and how they use the word GD, and they use the Lord's name in vain, especially TVs, movies, etc. And if the homosexuals can have it passed where we can't say things like faggot or, you know, queer or something like that, or we'll be fined, I think it should also be vice versa. And I believe Christians are slipping. It's like we're giving them passes. And I'm here to tell you, I won't give them a pass. They didn't give me a pass, and I think that we should concentrate more on transgender and not allowing them to be in women's sports. If you were born a man, you need to be over there in the men's sports. And, you know,
okay, now hold on. Wait a minute. what does God say about trans? See, this is the God of your understanding, and we're going to keep it in that. What does God say about it? Now, I read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through, I think, 4, and then 26 through 30.
And Proverbs, what is it, 16?
No, no. Let's not go there. Let's just stick with the scriptures. What did God say about?
In Genesis.
Okay. Yes.
He made them male and female.
Okay.
Right.
That's what we're dealing with, and that is, and we're clear, and we're not knocking anybody who, because we have to reach out to those individuals as well, but.
I'm not saying not to reach out to them. I'm not saying not to reach out to them, but we give them passes. They give them passes. Christians.
Well, don't say we, because we don't give them passes. We don't give them passes. We do not give them passes. Somebody else give them a pass.
Yes.
Because I line it up straight with the word.
When I hear, oh, my God, you know, and I'm guilty, too, of that. I'd be like, oh, my gosh. And I try to say that as much as I can. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? But we say it. And I think it's something that we need to hold ourselves accountable for, you know. And I was like, Lord, what's really going on, Father God?
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Try using the Hebrew name
okay.
for God. And think this way. When our book was written in Europe, when the Romans and the Greek wrote this, they saw God that looked like them.
Okay.
So there were lots of gods back then. So, but the Hebrews, when you look at the Hebrews, they had name for Elohim, Yahweh. I am that I am. God says, hey, Moses says, who should I say send me? He said, I am. And whenever you look at other scriptures, he said, Elohim. So we have changed the name. And you're right. We have changed the name.
And we did it.
We have made it to be what we want it to be.
Oh, okay. I hear you.
And because of that, that sort of, well, for me, that sort of puts it, a little question mark by it. And once we come into the knowledge of who did it and why it was done, then God began, the Creator began to hold us accountable for continuing to use it and not use that which is written.
Okay.
And you're right. Our only thing, I should have let you finish, but my whole thing is that today we're just on, when we talk about male and female, and we are biblical about it. And if, in fact, I was not acquainted with you, I would have, and I should have done it in a way, I probably would have allowed you to finish and then ask you questions. What is the biblical basis for what you're saying? And dealt with it that way. And because we don't want to run anybody away.
Oh, absolutely
and
not. That is not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If we can't say
I'm not,
LGBTQ community, they shouldn't be, and they're all of them, not just them heterosexuals, whatever. all nationalities, all ethnicities say that word. They do that. And I'm like, it's so not cool. And I hate to, it's a game show. Oh, my gosh. Or if you, it's your movie. Oh, my gosh. Oh, God, you know what? You know, I'm like, come on. They need to draw
but
the
that's
line.
Television.
In line. Do it.
But they are not believers the way we believe. They are not. We have to accept that the people that wrote that, I saw some movies that the way that they used the word, the name, it was, I call it psycho-religious. And I realized that person, the way that was using it, they were not a follower of the teaching of Jesus, nor were they Jewish or Islam, Muslim. And that's how I dealt with, I deal with it, and I choose to continue to look at it. I will look at it, but with that understanding. But if it was offensive to me, I'll just flick the channel. I have my little clicker, and I will just click it and go to another channel. Oh, did we lose our listener? All right, well, we have one left. Are there comments from the one listener that's still with us? All righty. Now, this next week, I'm not sure what time it is. Can't be running our listeners away. It is 7 o'clock.
This is Cunningham here. I was listening to you. I was wondering if this was this words that work. It's not what you say. It's what the people hear and feel.
Yes.
Or what?
Yes.
You came from a different angle today.
Yeah. Well, this is another month, and the topic is the God of your understanding.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's
okay.
What we're going to be operating all this month. And I was just trying to put out there so people understand whenever they call it that at least my definition is based on the scriptures.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, we lost our other listener, but my whole point with the topic is to get us to really begin to think about what it is that we believe, why we believe it, and what is the origin of it. And if nothing else, what would God say? It's like that. A thing that was going around was that in the 80s, where he had this bracelet, what did Jesus say? What would Jesus say? How does that line up with the word? And my only point.
WWJD. WWJD.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? What would Jesus do? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. And see, I see this. State has certain rights. If the state wants to have a civil union, they can pass that law. But don't tell me marriage, and then they're going to have to come to church, and then they're going to want a blessing. That goes against my biblical understanding of what marriage is all about. And that's why I read that part in there. I think it was 26, 27, well, between 26 and 30, where he told them, be fruitful and multiply. Well, I know I might turn people off, but that's fine. My thing is that two men can't be fruitful and multiply anything. The two ladies can't be fruitful and multiply in the thing. And so that's how I respond to situations, circumstances like that. And I don't get myself bent out of shape over it. They have a different perspective, and that's on them. I will share with them what I believe and the basis for my belief. Took biology in high school and in college, and biology says that procreation takes place between a male and a female. And when I line that up with the text, with the scripture, two males or two females can't procreate anything. So the world would end at that relationship. So that's hopefully that will begin to help people to understand how we got ourselves into the condition and the situation that we are in now. And if we go back through the word, I didn't go there. I think in the book of Leviticus, I think it's Leviticus, where again it spells out the relationship and who's not to do what with whom. So it's not just one place in the Bible. It's more than one place. And now I am making it clear that we're not trying to turn anybody off or run anybody away, but we just want people to think about what it is that they're saying and why they're saying it and why they believe what they believe. And like the founding fathers, when we get into that next week, I think hopefully some people's eyes will be open and they begin to see to when all this mess started that we're in now. So we're trying to get the truth out. And that applies to whatever country you're in. It doesn't have to be whoever founded that country. What was the basis, the theological understanding of God or a supreme being or not a supreme being? What was the philosophical rationale that they used to start the country that you were in, that society? And then based on that, you can begin to understand why things are happening the way that they are happening. And you also understand that what the solution is going to be, and you can make a determination whether or not it's worth you're putting energy out trying to deal with it. So that's where I look at things, and it's for this time that we are living in, with all the wars and rumors of wars and all the killings and all of that, the strife. I'm saying we, because I do too. That's one of the reasons for this program. I had to sit down and think things through. Why are things happening the way that they're happening? And then I had to go back to the beginning.
Because of sin.
And what is
anything
sin?
Anything that's going against the will of the Father. Anything that doesn't line up with Scripture. It's because of sin that man has allowed things to slip. Man has. They used to say America was created on the foundations of God. What God were they talking about, though? So it makes a difference.
And what we will try to do is have facts that we can refer people to. Who was that God in the beginning that the founding fathers were dealing with and they were addressing? And why did he allow certain things to come into being? So, yeah. And one thing that growing up, they're talking about sin, 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 sin. I'm sitting in that in the pews or sitting in the Sunday school class. Sin. Nobody really broke it down in a way that people could really wrap their head around it in terms of disobedience. And they said that, but they did not emphasize that. All the emphasis was on sin. But sin didn't happen until Adam and Eve disobeyed the laws or the command of God. Lucifer in heaven, he did not sin until he disobeyed God. Here's the disobedience. And whenever they said that, then I would come into that understanding, and that made a whole lot of sense to me. Boy, I've been disobedient so much. And then whenever I looked at it, because I'm a sociology major, I looked at the movements that took place during the 60s. There was a lot of disobedience that took place at that time. And maybe that's why we're going through some of the changes we're going through now, that we were disobedient. We disobeyed. We broke the law, not just the man's law, but we broke some biblical laws and challenge and the challenges that we did. And so it's interesting. Not saying that we can become perfect. We can't. There is no perfect being, human. So, and Adam showed us that because Adam walked with God. And he still disobeyed. But it's interesting. It's a journey. If we accept the fact that walking this race, running the race or walking the race, that it's a journey. You got laps. You got to make some laps. And you got to put some energy out. You have to do something.
It takes compassion. That's what I talked about this morning. It takes compassion to have the heart of the Father, have the heart of Elohim. And it takes us turning toward him to know what his heart is. We have to turn to the Word. And the Word is, it gives us every solution of what we need in this world, in this earth, as believers, as followers of the Most High. If we don't do that, things are going to get worse, because the scriptures say they will wax worse. And it doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
In the last, these mm-mm. things are going to be, men are going to be lovers of themselves more than lovers of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Word. And that's in America or whatever country. That's right. What it is in that arena. And we just have to know the heart of the Father. And even the one of the stories that he had me to use this morning, you just reminded me of it because of what you're saying and where you're going now. You even mentioned the scribes and had me talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. We still got them today. So
mm-hmm.
the scribes are the ones who wrote the Jewish law. They had knowledge of the law. They wrote it on the scrolls. They did that.
Mm-hmm.
You still got people that have knowledge of the Word. They walking around here preaching it and talking about it, but they're not walking it. They're not living it.
That's right.
You know, there's a difference. That's what makes up the difference. And our Heavenly Father says, those who know my will, who do my will, who follows the will that I came to do and represent my Father's will, those who do that, they love me because they love my Father, and my Father will love them. So it just makes a difference of why things are the way they are, because of sin, disobedience, you know, period. But we have to have the heart of the Father. We have to love people like he loves. That's bottom line. I don't care where they are. I heard evangelists mention the transgender. I was in a restaurant. It was kind of noisy, so I was kind of missing some points. But I was back in the car by the time she was talking. But then my son called, so it was like I had other little distractions, so I did not get to finish hearing what she was saying. But I did hear her say something about the transgenders and how America, how they making our, wherever, where we're at, we're in America. We're hearing them talk about, you know, making this legal for them and doing this for them. And even in the restaurant I was at, I just saw that. It was so much of it right there in my face. And it was okay. One of the guy, I could tell the guy was a guy, but his whole, he's probably taking hormones. He's growing breasts. It was just like, I'm like, whoo, what in this world? It's crazy how man has even come up. The enemy has gotten so wicked that he's allowing man to incorporate and try to change the gender of a person. But you can tell that was still a guy, because I just looked at him, the way he was walking and the way he came back, because in his section he was not, you know, you can tell he's not a woman. You can tell that was a man. It was a young person. But it's just sin and disobedience. And because of that, and because of all that being here on this earth, and we're here too, but we're not of this world. But because all that's here, we have to deal with it. We have to pray about it and keep it moving and keep doing the will of the Father and keep loving like he loves. Because he don't see those type people, those people that have those issues and them demonic, their minds been, he don't see them the way we might look at them and see them. He still sees them through his eyes of love. And one of the stories he had me to use, that's what he had me talking about, the heart of the Father, which is compassion. We have to have compassion. It has to be there. It has to dwell in us. We can't snoot up our nose just because we think we have arrived in certain areas in our life. None of us are perfect. All of us are apt to mess up and make a mistake. But one thing about it, we need to be quick to repent if and when we do. So my thing about that, when it comes to America, is sin is just it. It's here. It came. The spirit came with the fall of man, and it's here until the end. It's going to be here.
Now next week, hopefully, we will get into how we deal with the sin as well, so that people won't think that sin is going to overburden us. But we have a role that we have to play in eliminating or moving that sin off of us, the consequences of sin off of us. So, but it is the points that you were making is so clear. Then, okay, you're at the restaurant, but if I turn on television and I'm watching television and I see it, I can always change the channel. And like there's a commercial that comes on it's the AIDS commercial. And when that commercial come on, I click the channel because I don't want to see it. And
yeah,
I go
but when
you're
in the midst
else.
Of it, when you're in the midst of it, you don't have that opportunity to just do that. I was in the restaurant right there where it was.
Well, see,
I saw
if you
it, and I was like, whoa.
In the midst of it, yeah, but excuse me. I look at it this way as well now. The Holy Spirit was able to use you to do something for somebody that was in that restaurant.
Yeah.
And that's how I see things. I don't see things like that happens by chance. It wasn't something that you sought out that restaurant to go to and you went to that restaurant, and that's what you were faced with. And as opposed to when a point of running from that restaurant to another restaurant, you were there. They had what you wanted. They bought your food. They were courteous. And people saw something in you. I'm saying that because I used to, when I worked in Washington, I worked at La Font Plaza at HUD, and I took the subway people, when I got off the subway, people were speaking to me and smiling. And one day I went in, I sat down, I said, look, y'all, what's going on? I'm not doing anything. I'm not saying anything differently to people. Matter of fact, I'm just walking, trying to get to work. And people smile and say, good morning. And the whole thing is, they saw, the response was, they see something in you. So that's what I'm saying is that somebody there saw something in you that touched them.
No, well, see, what came to me was the message that that the Holy Spirit had me to share this morning. And I also came out of, you know, talking about the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, when they bought that woman. Where was the man who was caught in the act of adultery? And they bought her before the Messiah to see who what he was going to do. They wanted to see what he was going to do. It was a test that they were trying to find to condemn him. But he didn't. They kept running their mouth, and he didn't say a word until he wrote on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And his very words was, whoever of you that has not sinned, cast the first stone.
The first stone.
Neither That's one right. of them couldn't do it. But what got me, because see, some of us are older, been on in this walk for so many years. I've been saved and been following after the Father, the Heavenly Father, the Creator, for over 30 years. Some of us have been on this walk a long time.
We think we got it.
We think we've arrived, but we have not. But that scripture that got me, I think it might have been the 11th scripture. I need to walk back there to look. I think it might have been the 11th verse, maybe, or the 10th or the 11th verse, I don't remember, in the John, in John, that 8th chapter. And it got me when it said, when the people started leaving, the oldest started moving first, from the oldest to the least. And how the Holy Spirit got me, hit me with that right there, because they knew what all they had done. They knew they had been walking the journey a longer time than anybody there. And they was the first ones to walk away because they probably, I can see that they can just start. Man, I remember yesterday I did this. I did that just last week. Man, years ago I did that. Don't nobody even know about that. Let me just go on and walk away. So they all walked away from the eldest to the least to the youngest. So we have no right. I don't care where we are to judge. And see, the scribes and the Pharisees, and we know the Pharisees were the religious Jews, yes, who trusted that they were righteous.
Yep.
You know, they thought they had it going on, but they despised and looked down on other people. We still got Pharisees today. Are we Pharisees? The question I asked when I read that scripture was, how much love do you and I have for sinners, because they're around us all the time. How much love do we have? Do we have the heart and the compassion of our Father? Do we? We have to ask ourselves that question every single day. Every day. That's not just, and you know, yeah, I'm talking about it again because you reminded me of it again. And I'm not sure, I don't think you were on the broadcast this morning.
Well, would you like to know the truth?
No.
was on the broadcast, but you don't want to know the truth.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, I want to know the truth. I'm sorry.
I was on the broadcast, but I fell off to sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay.
I made sure that everything was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't know what it was. I remember you talking about a prodigal son.
Yeah, I came out of Luke 2. I came out of there when the father, when his son, when he left, he asked for his inheritance, and he left and he spent it. And he came back. He came to himself, to his right mind, and realized what all was going on, that his daddy's house had it going on. He realized that. He remembered that. And he went back, but who was looking for him? his father. I'm sure he had been looking for him every day. He probably would get up just looking, expecting to see him come across the horizon, expecting to see him come up that hill, climbing up that hill to get to him. And when he looked afar off and he saw his son, he didn't wait on him to get to him. He ran out to meet him. See, that's what kind of father we serve. He waits on us. He waits on us to get it together.
Yeah.
So, see, we don't have no
right
to cast no stones, hallelujah, on nobody, toward nobody. So when I saw all that, what I was looking at, I could only do, only thing I could do was smile and love and let them see the glory on my life. That's all I could do. I had no right to judge and pray. I prayed for them while I was there. That's all I can do. You know, they were at work. You know, if the Holy Spirit had said, get out here in the middle of the restaurant and start preaching, I would have did that. But he didn't say that.
No, that's right.
He didn't say that. He just said, show forth my glory. Show my love. Show my compassion. Because I was feeling sad for him. I don't know what twisted him up. Don't know what kind of life they came up in. I talked about that this morning. We don't know people's situations. You don't know where they've been, what they had to deal with. They could have been, I even said that this morning, they could have lived in a household with a mother and a father, but the mother and father could have both abused them, could have both took the advantage of them. You don't know what people deal with that caused their mind to slip, that caused them to think the way they think they were born that way. We don't know what causes that, but we know the healer. We know the deliverer. Elohim.
Yeah, now that's true.
That's why he left us here. We're the feet. We're the ones who show the compassion, not the judge. We don't have room to judge. We don't. And I mean, that's just what I was talking about. So you just reminded me. And then when I saw what I saw today, it reminded me as I was sitting there. And I won't go back there again because the food was nasty. But I was grateful. It was aight. But it was food for me. I prayed over it.
Right.
I saw how they were preparing the food. I sat right where I could see them preparing the food for people. Girl preparing a salad, scratching her head, and then putting her hands right back down on preparing the food. That's why you got to pray over your food before you eat it. I said, Father, I will not be back here again.
Now, the God of your understanding told you to do what?
Yeah.
To pray over your food. And
that's
in keeping with the topic for tonight. The God of your understanding said, you are here, but I am not judging them. Because I don't know what they went through to cause them to be the way that they are. The God of your understanding, and see, it's your relationship and your experiences is what develop your relationship with God. And that out of that relationship, that's why you develop the type of understanding about God that you have. And that's why you can be calm. You're talking about the compassion. I mean, you don't have to get all bent out of shape because technically, what can we do other than pray, other than what we can watch and pray, and at opportunities we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them through us.
Exactly.
And that way we're not condemning anybody. I mean, we see their fruits, and we know their fruit doesn't line up with the word, but we can't condemn them because whenever I look at my fruit, sometimes it doesn't line up with the word. Your fruit doesn't line up with the word sometimes. But what do we do? You can confess and repent. And one of the biggest other biggest problems is unconfession. People haven't confessed.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna have to hang with the pastor.
Well, it's about over with anyway, because you and I are the only ones here right now. The other party did not return, so it got to be after 7.
Yes, sir. It's almost 7:30.
Oh, it's 7:30.
I'm going to make another phone for an 8 o'clock call.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yeah. You go ahead, because we only got a couple minutes. So I'm going to close out.
Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Shalom.
No. Shalom. Next week at 6 o'clock, we will be back again, and we'll be talking about words that work. It's not what you say. It's what the people hear and feel. What does people hear and feel when you make statements? And now, next week, we're going to deal with the Founding Fathers. And even in the last half hour, we will be talking about humiliation, pride, and we have our scriptures and how that leads to people not moving from the place where they are. That's a humiliation, pride, unforgiveness, and vengeance. Vengeance, I thought about that today whenever I was watching the television, and it was showing the previous president and his speech at the CPAC, and they had certain excerpts out of it. And he was saying that he's going to retaliate if he gets to be president. And my little antenna went up. Why is he saying he's going to retaliate when he wants to say that he's Christian, wants to say he's in a Christian nation, whenever the Elohim, the Holy Spirit, the Creator, made it clear that vengeance is mine. Until next week, listen in. And like we said, this is not just generic to the United States. This can be used, this method of searching the truth and explaining why things are happening the way that they happen can be applied to in any place on the face of the earth, because the earth was created by God, by man. Proverbs, I think, 1:15-16, it says that God, the heaven was made for him, and the earth was made for the children of men. So until next week, shalom, shalom.